It's Fortune Feimster. Welcome to another episode of Sincerely Fortune. I'm super excited about this episode because I interview my oldest brother, Price. We taped this right before self-quarantine. So if we make references to restaurants or traveling, anything like that, obviously times were a little different. So just giving you a heads up on that. He was in town to tape Kate Hudson's podcast with me, and it will be out sometime this summer. We'll definitely keep you posted on that. But in the meantime, enjoy this podcast episode. Welcome to another episode of Sincerely Fortune. I'm Fortune.
And I'm Jax.
And we're having a real ball right now because my big brother, Price. That's right. His name is Price.
My Fortune name is and Price. Fortune.
And he's in town in LA. His first time in like 6 years. And I said, well, you're here. You're doing a podcast. What's up, Price?
Oh, I'm glad to be here and excited to be in LA. I mean, you can hear my excitement in my voice and I'm ready to rock and roll.
This was a quick trip for Price, like 24 hours. He just missed his sister so much, he had to come see her.
Yes, that was that was the case. And so, but I have enjoyed, man, the food in LA is fantastic, by the way. Wow.
Oh, I knew, you know, as you guys probably can guess from my stand-up, I like to eat. And I said, if Price is coming all the way here for 24 hours, I got to take him to get a steak. And we went to a place where they bring out a shrimp cocktail and it smokes like a, how would you describe it? Like dry ice?
Yes, yeah.
And it was blowing Price's mind.
It really was. I thought that the fire alarm was about to go off from this presentation of shrimp cocktail. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, oh, this is for us at the table. And, you know, I thought the guys were going to break out in song and dance there for a second, or they dim the lights. And, you know, all they're doing is setting the shrimp cocktail down for you. You know, I'm like, this is the most impressive shrimp cocktail presentation I've ever had in my life.
And they clearly know that most people are impressed because the waiter also comes around with a flashlight so that you can take a video and it looks right. Better on social media. They're like, please film this and tag us.
Please tag us.
Well, I will admit, I have a couple buddies that whenever we go and, you know, nice restaurants and with, you know, very good food, I'm one of those guys that will take a picture of the food and send it to them. So, of course, I didn't realize that the flashlight was meant for highlight the whole presentation of the dry ice and the shrimp cocktail. So anyway, I got my phone out a little late and the guy came back and started doing the flashlight again. Then I realized, like, oh my gosh, like this is
that's for
a
you,
production.
Man.
Yeah. So.
And they had, I mean, that just touches the surface of the kind of service they had there. Mm-hmm. They were like on top of it.
Yeah.
Price dropped his napkin on the floor and a lady ran over and said, here, sir, would you like another napkin?
Price's mind was blown.
Well, mine was too. I mean, how I mean, did she
pretty,
see
it
that?
It was pretty impressive.
Well, what I said, if you want the truth is, I said, listen, I said, I'm a married man. Quit trying to flirt with me, you know? And so she handed me another napkin, which I was impressed as well. Like, how in the world did you see that my napkin had fallen on the ground? And she came back and, well, here's a, you know, and once again, it's this presentation. Well, sir, here's a brand new napkin for you. And so that was impressive as well. So, I mean, this, if we're giving out stars, I'm definitely giving them, I guess, what, 5 stars?
5 stars, baby.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
And the
up.
Food was all delicious.
Yeah.
We ended with some butter cake.
It was Mastro's is where it was in Beverly Hills. I mean.
Okay, name dropper.
Not that they need any exposure, but in case you ever come to Beverly Hills and want a swanky steakhouse, that's a good place to go. Mm-hmm. Price gives it a North Carolina 5.
I would definitely go back for sure. And yeah. Order the shrimp cocktail, of course.
Yeah. Well, Price came out to LA to break his podcast cherry. Not with us.
Oh, no, he's big time.
Price went from no podcast to big time podcast. We tape Kate Hudson and her brother Oliver Hudson's podcast, Sibling Revelry. So he hit the big time. First podcast, that's a pretty cool one to do.
Well, you said Kate Hudson, and I'm like, yes.
I never met her before, so it was a treat for me, too. I was like, sure. What did you think?
Well, as any typical person would, you know, you go into this gorgeous setting and you're greeted by some folks and, you know, we're making just small talk and introductions. And then all of a sudden you hear, hello, hello. And you look up and it's Kate Hudson. And I mean, yes, I will admit, you know, I'm not used to seeing celebrities. It's not an everyday occurrence. And, you know, I've grown up watching Kate Hudson movies. So it's kind of surreal at first, like, oh my gosh, there's Kate Hudson. And so, yeah, I did have that moment where I'm just like, oh my gosh, there is Kate Hudson literally within feet of me. And so she comes down and, like, you know, greets and, you know, smile. I'm like, it's Kate Hudson. And so, but listen, guys, I played it cool. I was like, hello, Kate.
Hello, Kate.
I'm Price. Nice to meet you.
He actually did a great job. Yeah. I did notice that.
You were impressed. Really good. Yeah. Were you nervous? You.
Yes, I was nervous, actually, just because, you know, you have no idea what to expect as far as like the questions that are going to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I don't have experience doing this type of stuff. So, Especially if you're not used to, you know, doing media or, you know, interviews or even talking to, you know, celebrities, I just didn't know what to expect. So I thought that was the nerve wracking part of it. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, how will this go? What will they ask? And, you know, the last thing I want to do is sound stupid. And so, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, don't say anything dumb. Don't say anything dumb. So that does go through your brain. But I will admit, after the first couple minutes, all of a sudden, that starstruck person, it's like, you know what? This is just two cool people just having, like, we're at Starbucks having mm-hmm. a friendly chat.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how I felt the rest of the time.
Yeah. Well, you did great, man.
Yeah.
It was interesting for Price and I because we don't ever dig too deep. You know, like, we don't dig too deep. With our, like, we're not like talk, we don't talk about feelings or like, I don't know. It's not like the whole podcast was like super deep, but there were times that we had to like share some feelings.
Oh, there were some kumbaya moments. I mean, there was a couple times I thought we were going to be joining hands and start kumbaya and at least humming it at least. I mean, there was a couple of those times.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was definitely something I think was. For us, it was a little different, but that's okay. It was cool.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm used to it because there's definitely like there's a West Coast thing. People that grew up on the West Coast or have lived on the West Coast for a very long time. Jax has experienced it in the last few years. People are like a little more hippy dippy here. They're a little more like touchy feely. They're a little more share feelings. Like they go around, you know, the table, you know, what are you... share like your dreams. It's like a definitely like a more verbal thing, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Out here, like,
oh, for sure.
Jax has gone to some parties.
I'm the person at the party who's always like pass.
Yeah, because we've been to parties where they're like go around the room and everyone say like one great thing that happened this year and one bad thing, and Jax is like, I don't know anybody here. I don't want to share.
I'm like,
this.
I'm not sharing my private thoughts with these strangers.
But I've been out here 17 years, and I'm used to the vibe, you know. And it's in their West Coast, you know, born and raised. So for me, I was like, yeah, let's, you know, I'll do this. But when it comes to my actual family, we're Southerners. We're close, but like our family doesn't talk about feelings.
Now,
you know,
that would be a good podcast if we did a Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner and we had microphones and we went around to share. Tell us what you think of this sibling or tell us their strong points or bad points. And wow. Now, you talk about good material. That would be brilliant.
Yeah, it would.
I mean, don't put it past us. If we're searching for a topic this Thanksgiving.
We got three mics. Yeah. We'll bring them home. Yeah, so we taped the podcast. It was really great, and they were super cool. And then, you know, when you have friends or family visit you in L.A., you never quite know. Like you want to give them the L.A. experience where they're, like, seeing, like, oh, look, there's a celebrity, or that, you know, you want to feel like a tour guide.
And we've had people visit us, and we've taken them to, like, all the hot spots where they're, like, this is where you should go for a celebrity sighting, and we see
no one. Yeah.
Today was just full of celebrities. They were just out and about all over town.
It was like, we like left their house. We're driving down the road. I'm like, there's Dustin Hoffman just crossing the road. And Price saw him. And that was like so random. And
Yesterday at dinner, you saw
Randall from Fresh Off the Boat. Mm-hmm. And today, then we like Diana Ross's son, Evan Ross.
We saw him at
Sherry
lunch.
Sherry Shepherd. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like
Kim Whitley.
Kim Whitley. Yeah, yeah, it was like one person. I was like, oh, I know them. I know them.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, you see these people, you're used to watching them on TV, and then all of a sudden you see them like, oh my gosh, there's... It's funny. We were watching Fresh Off the Boat, literally, Saturday. We had a recorded episode, and, you know, with my son, Kingston, he loves watching Fresh Off the Boat, and, you know, it's when that guy passed by, I'm like, it's Lewis Wong. There he goes, Lewis.
Yeah, he was in an office Christmas party with me. We met.
Calm down.
I
don't want to brag,
but I know Randall Park, and he's a very nice guy, but I didn't see him in time to like wave him over, or I would have been like, Randall, hello, Randall. That's how you act in Hollywood. Okay. Hello, hello, everyone. We're in Hollywood.
And see me, I would have said, Lewis, I love Cattleman's Ranch. You know, that would have been me, the fan, yeah. Obviously. So,
yeah. So we wanted Price to have a good experience since his trip was so short. I feel like we packed a lot in. Then we got some chicken wings.
Oh, yes.
And you guys, if you know anything about watching my special, my family likes chicken wings.
And then we ended it with some ice cream.
We did. I didn't do an ice cream dance.
Oh, no. Price. You could have done one with Price.
Would you have danced with ice cream?
Well, I was so concentrated on that cookies and cream that I'm sure I wasn't concentrating on ice cream dancing at the moment.
How did we not do an ice cream dance? Now, Price is the, I don't know if you, have you ever danced in public before?
Oh, no. Oh, boy. No. I don't think people want to see that one.
Don't put it past them. I think they want to see any Feimster dance now that they've seen my moves.
Well, my son wants me to do one of these TikTok videos with him. And I watched, 30 seconds of one of those videos. And I'm like, oh, my, I couldn't get past 5 seconds as far as the coordination is concerned. Yeah. So, yeah.
You weren't even on any social media.
Nope. If you're looking for price.com
Sexy
or
price.
The price.
Hot price. You know,
hot
yeah.
price.
No, we did run into a sign today at a store that said hot price, and Fortune is like, oh my gosh, you got to get a picture of this. And it's like, if you only had social media, this would be like the perfect picture for you to have.
Yeah, so. Price does none of that, which I'm very envious of. I love it, but also it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's probably a real time suck. I'm sure I would get so much more done if I didn't have social media. Did you make a conscious decision just not to do it?
Yeah, I did a long time ago. It just never really interested me.
Yeah.
As far as like, you know, I'm kind of, I don't want to say I'm a private person, but, you know, I'm kind of like, oh, you know, I don't want people knowing, you know, what I'm doing or this and that. No, like I said before, I've got a group of buddies that, you know, I will send them barbecue pictures. I will send them steak
that's
pictures.
That's your Instagram.
And that is my Instagram. And I'm sending them the dry ice presentation.
Yeah.
Now, you would think, like, hearing me say that I'd be, like, into Instagram. And for some reason, that just doesn't interest me. Now, my 10-year-old son is starting to get on it. Mm-hmm. And he's enjoying it. And so, I don't, you know, I kind of, like, enjoy watching him do it. And then I think my wife's on Facebook. And so, anytime that if I want to see something...
You just look on hers.
Yeah. And it's interesting. People come up to me a lot and says, oh, did you see your sister do this? Or your sister did this performance or whatever? And I'm like, great. And they're like, well, did you not see it? I'm like, no. Like, I'm not on social media, so I'm not seeing it. So then, they show me on their phone or something. I'm like, great.
Are you ever embarrassed? Be honest.
No comment.
Come on.
No, you're not bad, but there's Ginger Feimster. Oh. Yeah, and Tiny Feimster. Yeah, now that's another.
You know, Mom has been on this podcast quite a few times.
She said something about she had some sort of episode about sex.
Oh, God. Like, you aren't supposed to know about that.
Oh, my God. Well, I didn't listen to it.
Oh, good. Don't.
Someone, I don't know if she mentioned. Somebody had mentioned
to me.
She did
a sex Q&A.
Now, the last person that you want to be getting sex advice from is Ginger Feimster. And so
it was a big hit.
Yeah. And I can only imagine how in the world that conversation went.
Here's how it happened. Mom came on the podcast and she said something like, well, oh, I thought you were going to ask me about sex. You know, one of her jokes, because she thinks she's funny. I go, nobody wants to hear about that. cut to the that episode comes out, we get all these messages. Oh, we want to hear Ginger talk about sex. And we've put it off for months and months and months, and people kept bringing it up. So finally, Jackson and I just went, okay, fine, fine. We'll do one on sex. What are your guys' questions? So that people went to our Facebook, Sincerely Fortune Facebook page, and sent a bunch of questions for Mom to answer.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. I don't mean to rattle your cages, Fortune Nation, but wow. Holy smokes. Now, I will admit something. When Fortune did her show in Charlotte.
You know what? For my special?
For your special, your Netflix special. We went in, and there was some audience members. And there were actually people coming up to my mom saying how much they enjoyed listening to her on your podcast. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, these people are crazy.
Like, not not you guys listening.
Oh, of course not. No, not, of course not. Not any of you guys listening. You got to remember, my parents think they're celebrities. They think they're Hollywood and stuff. And so it just kind of, it was a head scratcher to me. But anyway, I guess that's a thing.
I guess so. Well, that's what's funny about having you do this. As you can tell from Price not having social media, he doesn't need validation. He doesn't have an ego. He's not trying or wanting to be known in any way. And I'm like, come be on the podcast. He's like, such a good sport. Just doing it for me.
Well, she did feed me. I mean, you know, chicken wings, steak, and ice cream. That gets you a podcast.
You do have to earn your keep around here. Yes. We need content.
You know, well, hey, listen, I will, anytime if I get fed like that, it's game on.
Yeah. Well, I just figured, you know, people might be interested to hear, because I don't get my family out here very often. You know, peel the curtain back a little bit to the Feimster family from a different perspective of of Ginger. And so, yeah, I was like, well, you're here. And Jax was like, we should do a podcast with Price.
Especially because Price is the brother that she was talking about in her special when she brings up his 18th birthday party and the hula hoopers from Hooters.
That is true.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So of all comments about Fortune's show, the biggest question that I got from my end as far as like friends, people that know me and obviously know Fortune and our family, a lot of people said that Hooters, that can't be real. That cannot be real. And I'm thinking, guys, everything you heard was 100% real. And I can tell you, because that was my 18th birthday party. And so
I think I said high school graduation, but I mixed it. I knew that she hired him. I just didn't, I couldn't remember which, but those are the same age.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so that was, I mean, literally my mom made a invitation with an owl
that says this will be a hoot.
Yeah, come have a hoot. You know, Price's 18th birthday party. And it's funny, I did not bring this on the trip, but before I came out here, I knew that my mom as a gift had made a photo album from that event. And what is in typical,
she wanted to document this Hooters party. Oh, and
you know what's great is she got me this 3-ring binder for photographs, and it's like, you know, 3 images, you know, down each side. Well, first of all, she got it in a Mickey Mouse photo book. So I've got Mickey Mouse red photo book with my Hooters birthday party experience. And what's great is as you go in typical Ginger fashion, she narrates on postcards. So you'll see, you know, like you'll see the invitation, and then it's like Price had an 18th birthday party with Hooter girls.
Here they are, and you know, talking to his Price and Gideon.
Yeah, and so there's narration, and you just, it's almost like you'd have to go through this book and, you know, see it. So it's true. Listen, we had 2 Hooter girls show up with hula hoops in hand, and
I was 12.
Yeah, and it was, what was funny, you know, people who know us, we're from a very small town. So anyway, when I put out the invitations at my high school for this birthday party, well, what I didn't realize is the whole school got word that there was going to be a Hooters party at the Feimster's house. And anybody from Belmont knows, everybody knows where everybody lives. Everybody knows everybody's phone number. And so it wasn't one of these big secrets. So we ended up having, what do you think, maybe 300 people?
It was a lot.
Yeah, we had a lot of people in that house.
We had a big backyard, too.
Yeah, and you know, and I guess, you know, since this is a podcast, I mean, think about 16, 17, 18 year old boys and two Hooter girls with hula hoops come and start hula hooping. And then of course on top of that, Feimster style, they bring five cans of chicken wings.
Yeah, that's what I was excited about. I didn't know I liked Hooters yet. Literally. But I think, too, what people have to remember about at your 18th birthday at this time in history, Hooters was scandalous, like, to a certain extent. Sure. Like, not scandalous, but it was risque. Like, oh, these girls dressed in tight shirts, and you can kind of see cleavage, and they're in short shorts. Because it was, there was no internet at that point. There was, so, you know, now you just Google boobs. Boobs are pop up, you know. Like, dirty magazines, the only way you got to see those is if someone's dad got them and, you know, found them under his bed. It was just, like, taboo back then. So, for 16, 17, 18-year-old boys, this was like, oh, my God. It was, like, mind-blowing to everybody else.
It really was. And what's funny is, like, these guys follow these girls around like puppy dogs.
And so those poor girls.
Yeah. And my guess is these girls, I would, and if I'm just taking a guess, probably 21, 22, possibly. But, you know, we're looking at them. Oh, these are college girls. And these are, you know, and we're high school, you know, little horn dogs.
Like, oh, they're going to like us. Yeah. They're like, no, get out of here.
So, you know, and so it was a fantastic party. And yeah, so when you hear that story, you see that on Netflix. I mean, it is, it happened, and it was a true story.
And I posted the pictures you sent me. Posted them. There's a picture of me. I had eventually stolen the girl's hula hoop, and I'm like,
you were 12.
I was 12, and I was making people watch me hula hoop. They're like, no, this is not who we want to see hula hoop.
You were like, oh my gosh, like, hula hooping makes you popular.
Which Price can now confirm for the, where I don't have photographic evidence, because it was a conversation. I don't remember if you were there. You might have been there when I had the talk with my mom about where are we going to dinner, and she was dating that very conservative man.
Yes.
And she says,
I was there.
I have never been to Hooters. So you guys have just heard this party my mom threw for Price. Clearly she had been to Hooters, or she would not have been able to throw a party like this.
I'm guessing she had been quite a few times if the girls said yes to coming to someone's house.
Price, when did we start going to Hooters?
Well, this is something that's interesting. You know, when we were talking about the podcast, and it started, you know, when the pictures and all that, it started making me think, like, when did we really start going to Hooters? And what was funny is I recall, now this is just from my memory, that back in the day, man, we had a group of friends, and understand something, we are not runners, but for some reason in Charlotte, they had the Charlotte Observer Marathon, and one of the runs was the Charlotte 10K, which is 6.2 miles. So once a year, me and this group of like four guys would go run 6.2 miles just because we were young, dumb, and stupid, and we didn't know anything about running, but we thought it would be cool after running 6.2 miles that we wanted to celebrate at Hooters. So it became this tradition every year that we don't train to run. We'd run 6.2 miles and then we go to Hooters to celebrate.
And how old were you when you first did that?
Oh my gosh. I want to say, probably maybe 7th, 8th grade.
So that's like 13, 14?
I'd say more like 14, 15, to be honest with you.
So then I would have been like 8.
Yes.
Because Price is like 6 or 7 years older than me.
Yes.
So when I tell y'all I've been to Hooters my whole life, it's, I was true, not kidding.
Yeah.
But I think what makes that whole Hooters story such a trip to people is that our mom could be so, like, on the other end of the spectrum. I have never, like, if we both were just looking at her like, what is happening right now?
And because you guys went so many times and she was so proud of it. I mean, she made scrapbooks.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like she was ashamed at all. And so to go from that to being like, I have never.
Yeah.
Like, wait,
but
what?
But, you know, she was in a relationship where she was trying to make it, you know, wanting to be who that person wanted her to be. She's since learned from that and knows that was a silly thing to do. She can laugh at it now just as much as we can. But it made for a really good, fun stand-up story. And the fact that it's true is blowing people's mind.
And, I mean, looking back, I'm sure she's glad it didn't work out with that man, because she would have been really bummed out to never eat at Hooters.
She would have. Yeah. She certainly wouldn't be the president of B-Flag either.
My gosh. Yeah. And you know what's interesting about that whole thing is I remember, and if I'm correct, I think that Jay was there as well. I think that we were so floored. I mean, she could have said anything about this. I don't like to eat chocolate, or I don't like ice cream, or whatever it is. But she said, Hooters? I don't go to an establishment like Hooters.
I have never been to Hooters.
And we thought it was a joke at first.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, she's trying to be funny. And then we realized she is for real. And she kind of looking at all of us, giving us the eyes like, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, and I'm like, Ginger, like, or we said, Mom, you know, and you know, and we were just more stunned. And you talk about, I won't say we were devastated, but I mean, listen,
devastated. Hey, you
mess with Hooters.
Don't cross Hooters.
Yeah, don't cross Hooters with the Feimsters. And so that actually did kind of take us back to, I think that started kind of us asking questions like, what's going on with your relationship there, Mom?
Well, that was always kind of the challenge for me in stand-up, because this is the first stand-up set I really talked about our family a lot, is because growing up, I was always like, if I tried to tell people these stories, they wouldn't believe me. You know what I mean? So as a stand-up, right, I was like, how do I describe my family in a way that's like, I know it's funny, but like, it seems so out there. But once I figured out how to put it into a story and put it in that special, it was, I don't know, it was cool to kind of share those silly stories, because they are so crazy.
And they really are. And for all my Hooters fans out there, I came full circle recently this past fall. I was traveling to a fishing event in Tampa, Florida. And one of my buddies, who was one of the runners with us, and one of the guys that always participated with our family going to Hooters, he said, you know, Price, the original Hooters is in Clearwater, Florida. And so he goes, I think it would be worth us driving out to Clearwater to enjoy a nice dinner, the two of us, at the original Hooters. So who's nice one to say dinner. No to that offer? So anyway, we go to Hooters. And guys, I don't know how to explain this over a podcast. We ordered our usual order, 20 hot wings and an order of curly fries with two sodas. And this sounds really ridiculous. This girl, 15 minutes later, brings out the most gorgeous hot wings.
Most gorgeous.
I mean, these things were like, it's like going to Hooters for the first time and discovering they have these great hot wings. And for some reason, you talk about, you know, KFC talks about the original recipe. I don't know what it was. And I know that girl was sitting there looking at us like, oh my God, these are some weird dudes.
They're like drooling over the wings.
Yeah, we're sitting there like, oh my. And I told, you know, I'm like, look at these wings. They're like perfect. And then
we got to go there.
Yeah, not only did that, then I took a bite of one. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like taking the first bite back in the day at Hooters. And the two people that I sent a message to immediately is I sent a text message to Fortune and my mom. And I said, look where I am eating tonight. And this is the best wings I think I've ever had in my life. And those are the two people that I immediately messaged to say, look at this. And I sent them literally a picture of 20 hot wings and a thing of curly fries.
Well, people definitely know you're a Feimster.
I feel really bad now because I've taken Fortune to Clearwater several times.
Yeah.
But I've never taken you to the original Hooters.
We've driven by it too.
Yeah. And I've been like before, but I didn't realize
that it was the Mecca.
Because when we go down there, there's a place called Cooters, which is also in Clearwater, and they have a really good happy hour with some delicious wings. So we just usually go there, but now I feel like I might have to take you to the original.
At least once we gotta go try it, just to pay homage to the motherland.
Biggie actually has a shirt from that Clearwater Hooters. Yeah, my stepdad bought it for him.
Oh, I was contemplating buying Fortune extra small, yeah, as she says in some of her comedy bits. You know, that was, you know, I was looking at that, and they were actually trying to get us to buy a swimsuit calendar. And I'm like, my 10-year-old is not ready for the Hooters 2020 swimsuit calendar.
Yeah.
And I will say, we've been to Hooters in all different places, and wings can vary. So I definitely think we should, like we said, like the original KFC, we got to try the original Hooters.
Yeah. And that's why it was such a big deal to me, because yes, and not disrespecting other Hooters chains, but you're right. I've gone the last couple of years, and I don't get to go as much. You know, I'm a married man. I do have a child. So it's not exactly like I say, hey, honey, let's go to Hooters.
Yeah.
I actually don't think, my son's 10, and we have not.
You haven't taken them?
We haven't taken them to, like, we've done takeout
before.
Our friends have done takeout. And my, you know, I think it's this big thing with my son. He's like, huh, when am I get to go into Hooters, Dad? And I'm like, buddy, not yet. Not yet. You're not ready. And so
you can christen him later.
Yeah, you know, and so we might do that.
Well, clearly Price and I are cut from the same cloth with our love of food like that. I feel like I have a lot. So, like I said, Price is my oldest brother, about 7 years apart. And I feel like I don't know what you'd say. My love of things was shaped by you, you know, because I was so young and I just basically wanted to do anything Price did. I'm sure people are like, I can't believe y'all are Price and Fortune.
Yes.
How weird is this? But those are old family names. But yeah, anything Price did, because he was my oldest brother, I was like, well, Price plays tennis, I got to play tennis. Price loves soccer, I'm going to play soccer. Like, anything he did, I wanted to do. And I wanted to always pal around with Price and Jay and the neighborhood. Like, everyone in our neighborhood was boys. So it forced me to be really rough and tumble, and was probably the start of my tomboy years. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would have been a delicate flower.
How come you're not tougher then?
I know. I'm a real big puss now, Price.
I don't know. I mean, we did push you around pretty good back in the day. I mean, we played some rough games of soccer or flag football.
Tackle, too, sometimes.
Tackle, absolutely. And so, I mean, you know, and she was always right there in the middle of everything.
What happened? I came home with busted lips all the time. Like,
absolutely.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a lover, not a fighter, okay? Mm-hmm. But if someone crossed me and I had to defend, like, my honor or your honor, I could hold my own.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
That's hot.
Yeah. That's right, Jax. Yep. I got you, boo. So, but the thing about having such an older brother is that, you know, by the time I was 12, Price had moved out of the house and had gone to college. And so then you moved back eventually. So we had those years together. But would you have ever predicted that I would have gone down this comedian path?
No. Honestly, I mean, it's one of those things that, what do you think, you know, you'll be when you grow up? And if you went around a room and said, I think this person might be a lawyer, this person might be a doctor. Honestly, I would have probably said maybe a school teacher, because it's simply because our mom was a school teacher. And you seem to like that. And then, you know, as you got older, you were very intelligent. And so maybe lawyer or something like that, because you always had good grades and you were a good student and you took your studies very serious. So I knew there was always the potential for you to, if you decided to, you know, whatever you wanted to be, I knew that you had the structure and the willpower to do that. Now, the whole thing, even when you moved out to LA, I still didn't foresee
you
getting into the comedian route.
Were you surprised when I moved to LA? Were you like, what is she doing?
No. I guess in a sense, well, maybe I was, because in our family had been together in the North Carolina region for so long. Mm-hmm. And then our brother Jay obviously went in the Coast Guard, and he was, he got stationed all over around the world. So we kind of got used to Jay not being here for a little bit. And I just, you know, I thought, you know, you went to a piece and you got your degree and all that. And I was thinking, well, you know, maybe she'll go get... I honestly thought that you were going to go to graduate school. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought was next for you. Because your grades were good. I mean, you were a pretty good student.
I don't wanna brag or graduate summa cum laude. Whatever. That's neither here nor there. I thought I was going to go to grad school too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then.
And then Hollywood came knocking.
Hollywood came knocking. But once I was out here, it was hard. I think I called home crying a lot. Did you think that this is going to be a temporary thing?
Yes and no, because, I mean, you do, you know, you see that Hollywood portrayal of people coming out and not making it.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about people, you know, coming out there with their scripts or trying to get acting jobs and all that. And I knew that you were, you know, going to kind of see, you know, kind of explore out here a little. Did I think you were going to be out here for years and years to come and have a career here? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
And so just because, I mean, it is Hollywood. I mean, right. You could have said, I'm going to any city in America. And I'd been like, okay, all right, maybe you're just trying to figure it out. But the New York, LA, I mean, good gosh. I mean, you talk about the hardest cities to break in as far as career-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was, and then like you said, when you came out here, you know, like, well, what's Fortune doing? You know, my mom would say, oh, well, she's doing this and she's doing that. And it's like, oh, but she's not. And again, the whole
she's comedy, not getting no, paid.
Yeah. You were kind of working some odd jobs.
Yeah.
And stuff. And it's like, okay, but she's trying to make ends meet and stuff. And so, you know, we heard, you know, that was kind of a lot of the news that we had heard. And so, but then the comedy thing came up. And even then, I was still like, oh, I think she's just trying to get her feet wet.
Yeah.
Just to, and, you know, even
because
you,
I wasn't funny per se in everyday life.
Right.
I wasn't the jokester trying to make everyone laugh all the time.
Right. And then, you know, as we talked about, you know, you were trying to make friends out here and mm-hmm. you were trying to meet people. So when the whole comedy thing came, I'm like, oh, that's cool. She's trying to meet people in a comedy.
Like an improv thing.
An improv thing. I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat.
Uh-huh.
And so that's kind of how everything unfolded after that. That was a total shock.
Yeah. Well, probably. Well, what was so trippy for me is that I had been out here for 8 years before I got on TV. So you're talking about someone telling everybody back home, I promise you, I'm working all the time. I'm not getting paid for it. And you know what I mean? Like, you're telling them, like, I promise you I'm doing shows. I'm part of this and that. But you have nothing to show them because y'all live 3,000 miles away. It wasn't until 2010. 8 years, you know, of being in LA almost, that I finally got Last Comic Standing. It was the first time where people were like, oh, she's actually doing this, well, I think.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about Last Comic Standing is you actually made the, I guess you would call it a trailer promo,
uh-huh.
or the commercial promo.
Yeah.
And you're kind of the highlight of the trailer. You know, you're talking about, I think it was like one of your FedEx jokes or, uh-huh. or it was something like that.
Yeah.
But they, you could see that was kind of their, you know, watch Last Comic Standing,
right.
You know, Tuesday nights. And there you are given that little bit at the end, you know, with mm. your joke in. And it's like, oh my gosh, she's on TV.
Uh-huh.
So it was a big deal back then to see even a 30-second commercial. Like, oh, here she comes. It's going to be on for 3 seconds. But man, there she is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you're talking NBC. I mean, you're talking a big TV show. And so that was kind of cool to see that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think for me it was like, I you know, I could finally like show, you know, something concrete. Like, I've worked for 8 years with, whereas all my other friends were 8 years in a job. They'd been promoted like 5 times already, buying houses, getting paid. I was like, reaching a certain age where I was like, I should not be broke. And I am. But, you know, I just, once I discovered this passion, there was just no stopping me. But when you live 3,000 miles from your family, it's hard to really share what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what was cool about Last Comic Standing is so that first show comes on and you actually killed it.
That's
you know,
right. That's right.
That
Bryce.
was a, you know, and even the judges were like, wow. Like, and you could see their faces like, well, where'd you come from?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. And that was kind of cool. Like, well, man, this girl's actually real. And then all of a sudden, I think that's when it started to be like, oh my gosh, like she's really doing this.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of one of those moments that, one, she's on national television, and two, she actually performed very well. It's like if somebody was performing American Idol,
right.
And then you went up there, I'm this great singer. They get on TV, and then it is rough. And it's like, oh, my God.
You're embarrassed that they're your family member.
Yeah, you're going to bomb it, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh. And you make the outtakes. But you got on there. So not only were you on the commercial, but then, you know, your audition happened and, you know, you could see those other comedians like, man, yeah, you know what? That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Yeah. I mean, I just happened to have been newer at stand up. So, you know, but, you know, now I've been in stand up 13 years. I mean, what do you think about where I'm at now?
Well, it's interesting, you know, kind of something that we talked about on Kate's and Oliver's podcast is something like that. Well, why do you think about your sister from where she started to where she is now? And, you know, obviously being in the family, I mean, we've been at all her first shows. Mm-hmm. So when she would go to Belmont and perform, we were there when she was just happy to get a room of people to come in to tell jokes. And, you know, this was essentially, I'm sure she's practically making nothing doing those shows. So to see her, you know, and where she's improved is her timing is just impeccable now. And I had a friend at one of her last shows that came up to me and he goes, you know, Price, we started going to her shows when she started in Belmont. And between when she started in Belmont to now, I would put her on the category of the top comedians. Like, she is that good now. And I'm thinking, you know what? You're right. She really is. And I'm just not saying that because she's my sister, but you do go to her shows and they are hilarious. They are so funny. And it is, you know, a lot of good stories and stuff. So I'm not just saying that just because, you know, we're sitting here doing a podcast and it's my sister, because
and we're about a mistake.
Yeah. And, you know, and my wife and I love comedy. We've gone to a lot of shows to see a lot of comedians. And, you know, and I think I've shared with Fortune, like, you know, I was a big Robin Williams fan. Yeah. And I just kind of liked his sense of humor. Of course, I was Adam Sandler and that kind of stuff. But I kind of liked their type. I call it smart comedy. And it's actually the stuff that she does. I think a lot of what she does is smart comedy. She tells a joke. I love when comedians start with the joke at the very beginning of their show. And then they will literally come full circle to the end and reference that first joke they started. And I think that is brilliant how people can do that. And I've seen you do that a couple times, which is pretty cool.
Aw, thanks, Price. We're just sharing feelings left and right.
I know, and I feel like we're going to have to wrap this up before her head gets too big. This is like Brother of the Year award.
This is like kumbaya.
Price doesn't share a lot of feelings, and today we just cracked him right open.
Yeah.
Fortune cookie. That
was so sweet.
That was very sweet.
We did have to do a lot of questions. We did this, like, what was it, Hot Fire or... Hot Shot Round or something, yeah. Where we had to, like, oh, tell us your feelings. One word to describe this, or tell us your feelings on this.
You and
that.
I were like, oh, we weren't very good at speed rounds because we like to think. Well, do you think I've changed? Have I changed?
Well, I mean, everybody, as you get older, you know, changes. I think, you know, people mature. They kind of come into themselves as far as, like, the person that they are. I mean, you can't really compare who somebody was as a kid, mm-hmm. to as who they are as an adult. Now, I will say that I think anybody who knows us Feimsters that, you know, we're very friendly people. We're very approachable. And, you know, we tend to get along with everybody, which is, I think, kind of cool. Where you see a lot of these people, I mean, it is, especially when you get into the position that you are, you can absolutely get an ego and just start blowing people off. I see the cool thing with you is you make the effort to sign autographs, take pictures, you know, and you actually speak to people and stuff. And now with your popularity, the way that it's going, I know it's becoming a little bit more difficult because you still want to take the time to say hello, let's get a picture, let's get an autograph. And then literally, you know, it's like, I just physically don't have the time to get every single picture in and all that. So
well, you know, just the supermodel that I am today, it's all very simple stuff. It doesn't matter what your job is or if you're on TV or not, you got to be a good person and treat people kindly. I mean, like, what, nothing about my job makes me better or more important than anybody else. So if I were to act a fool or be a jerk, I mean, can you imagine? Our grandmother would roll in her grave.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I'm just acting like a normal, nice human, or that's what my goal is.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, like, I fell in love with you, because you were just nice to everyone. It didn't matter who they were. There are times now where it does get difficult, and there are people who you watch get like offended, but like we'll be running through the airport about to miss a flight, and if she stopped and took a photo with everyone on your way, sometimes you just have to be like, no. But she's never like, I've seen people be very rude about it, where she'll just be like, sorry, I can't, like we're in a hurry.
Well, at the end of the day, I'm just glad anyone cares, because as we talked about my journey, I spent a lot of years where no one did care, and you know, I didn't get paid, and now I get to do what I love and people support me, so I that's as good as it gets, so no complaints from me.
And I know she was so happy that you came out to do the podcast with her. Yes. That was awesome.
Yeah, and now you're a podcast she pro.
Appreciates all your support and all you coming to all these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah, of course. And
bringing your wife. And
yeah, Price has always been like, I mean, I have my dad. We luckily, we have our dad. But because Price was 7 years older, he always was almost like a second dad at times, teaching me how to, you know, play sports and spending a lot of time with teaching me things and showing me the way. So
escorting you to debutante ball.
Yes, Price was in my debutante picture at the beginning of the special. Yeah,
interesting picture.
Are you getting recognized from that?
Oh, you know, it is funny. People will tell me like, I saw your pictures. You know, that was you, right?
And
like,
oh, yeah, two pictures.
Yeah, two pictures. I'm like, well, remember, I was slim and trim back in the day. You know, don't compare me.
Now we've both been eating too many chicken wings.
Yeah, we like the steak and chicken wings too much. Yeah,
but you've always been a good big brother, and you've always looked out for me, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Well, you're awesome. Thanks for doing this, Pete.
Yeah, my pleasure. We'll do it again.
All right. Sounds good.
Now we've got to take him to the airport.
I know. It's time to go back to NC. All right, guys. Yes. Well, thanks for tuning in.
And we will talk to you next week.
Bye.